This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You are listening to Lee Trulin alongside Kelvin Yee and Ayman Rashad. First up today, it is Popit Popit Parliament, where we're bringing you the updates from Dewan Rakyat.
And you can always join the conversation. Call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. All this coming up on the Evening Edition.
BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:06 in the evening with Lynn, Ayman and Kelvin, and it is time, as always, for Popit Popit Parliament. We have some updates for you from Dewan Rakyat today, and our correspondent is Tasha Fusil. Tasha, what is good?
Alrighty, so today there were well wishes all around for the Malaysian football team who will be facing Indonesia tonight in the 2022 World Cup qualifier. And on that note, during a question on the maintenance of Sepak Takraw courts and sports centres, Syed Saddiq, the Minister of Youth and Sports, was asked if these centres were, you know, neglected because young people prefer esports, especially now that he's sort of helming that cause, right? So this was his response.
Saya juga percaya yang berhormat bahawa sukan tradisional dan sukan-sukan baru seperti e-sports dapat dibangunkan bersama, kerana akhirnya kita lihat landscape sukan negara sentiasa berubah. Sebelum ini kita mungkin hanya ada dalam 20 ke 30 traditional sports, dan sekarang dia asyik berkembang. Setiap tahun ada sukan-sukan baru, sebagai contoh dalam Tokyo Olympic, Paris Olympic. Selepas ini akan ada 4 jenis sukan lagi yang akan dipertandingkan, seperti break dancing yang sepatutnya kita cari jalan untuk mengasah bakat anak muda kita supaya akhirnya mereka boleh mengikut arus masa perkembangan sukan yang sedia ada. Terima kasih, Yang Mohamad.
That was Minister of Youth and Sports, Syed Saddiq. And I think that that's a very fair comment, right? It always stems from this place of fear, I think, that the minute you put somebody in front of a screen, they're not going to move. You know, that's what's going to happen. They're just going to sit there forever and ever and never, ever want to go outdoors again, never, ever want to catch or kick a ball. I just don't think that that's the case. It's in a way also down to the people who want kids to be involved in those sports, to make those sports appealing, right? To get it to become part of daily life. I think it's wrong to assume that, yeah, now that esports is around, nobody will want to do traditional sports anymore.
Yeah, because it's not a zero-sum game, right? Just because you're championing the development of esports doesn't mean that the traditional sports will be left behind. As the minister pointed out, there will be breakdancing. I didn't know that breakdancing will be an Olympic sport, apparently. So in a way, that shows that the way we define sports changes and evolves over time, so it is worth looking at different avenues of getting into it.
If rhythmic gymnastics can be an Olympic sport and has been for so long, I guess breakdancing is kind of within that realm, right? It requires that same level of athleticism. But do you think that esports will mean the death of traditional sports, or do you agree with the minister that it doesn't necessarily have to be that way? You can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Moving on, Tasha, what else do you have?
Well, another thing that was brought up today was child marriage. Datuk Sri Dr. Wan Aziza Wan Ismail, the Women, Family and Community Development Minister, was asked why there wasn't a nationwide ban on child marriages yet. So she says it's because that there are 7 states that are refusing to actually enforce the ban.
Dalam hal ini, beberapa sesi libat urus telah dilaksanakan oleh kerajaan untuk tujuan menyeragamkan umur minimum kepada 18 tahun dalam enactment Undang-Undang Keluarga Islam Negeri, Undang-Undang Adat dan Enactment Mahkamah Anak Negeri dan lain-lain bentuk tata cara, kaedah dan garis panduan. Manakala enactment Undang-Undang dan had umur minimum perkahwinan hanya boleh dipindah sekiranya negeri-negeri bersetuju dengan cadangan pindaan tersebut. Hanya negeri Selangor telah memindah enactment ini, manakala wilayah persekutuan sedang dalam proses pindaan. 5 negeri lain yang telah bersetuju untuk meminda adalah Pulau Pinang, Sabah, Johor, Melaka dan Perak. Masih terdapat 7 lagi negeri yang tidak bersetuju untuk meminda perundangan berkaitan itu, Sarawak, Pahang, Terengganu, Perlis, Negeri Sembilan, Kedah dan Kelantan. Manakala bagi pula bukan Islam pula, KDN, Kementerian Dalam Negeri, memaklumkan bahawa tiada keperluan untuk meminda peruntukan berkaitan had umur pendaftaran perkahwinan di bawah Akta Membaharui Undang-Undang Perkahwinan dan Perceraian 1976, Akta 164. Ini adalah kerana undang-undang sedia ada. telah pun diperuntukkan dengan jelas had umur minimum pendaftaran perkahwinan bagi lelaki dan perempuan adalah 18 tahun. Pengecualian hanya diberikan kepada perempuan berumur 16 dan 17 tahun yang perlu mendapat kebenaran daripada Ketua Menteri atau Menteri Besar. Pengecualian ini walau bagaimanapun ditangani melalui mekanisme kawalan prosedur operasi standard SOP yang telah ditambah baik bagi permohonan perkahwinan berumur dan telah diberkuat kuasa pada 22 Ogos tahun ini.
That was Datuk Seri Dr. Wan Azizah Wan Ismail, the Minister of Women, Family and Community Development. What else happened in Parliament today, Tasha?
So one topic that was brought up is actually one that we talk about quite a bit here on the station. Our listeners bring it up sometimes, and that is why Malaysians are still willing to do 3D jobs in Singapore. Deputy Human Resource Minister Datuk Mahfuz Omar listed some of the factors.
Kajian ini mendapati bahawa antara faktor-faktor utama yang menarik minat untuk rakyat Malaysia bekerja di Singapura termasuk dalam sektor 3D adalah kerana ekonomi, politik dan sosial. Dan kedua-dua faktor itu berkaitan dengan tempat kerja. Iaitu bagi faktor yang melibatkan negara kerana dia mempunyai nilai mata wang yang kukuh. Kedua, peluang pekerjaan yang lebih baik. Tiga, taraf hidup yang lebih baik. Kesamaan budaya dan mempunyai saudara mara dan rakan-rakan yang tinggal di Singapura. Serta kedudukan Singapura yang lebih dekat dengan kampung halaman. Bagi faktor yang melibatkan tempat kerja, di sana didapati gajinya lebih tinggi. Bukan kerana semata-mata faktor tukaran mata wang. Tapi gaji yang ditawarkan walaupun dalam 3D tetapi dia lebih tinggi. Suasana kerja yang lebih baik, faedah sampingan yang baik yang ditawarkan oleh syarikat, kenaikan gaji yang menarik, polisi syarikat yang baik serta kestabilan tahap pekerjaan telah mendorong untuk rakyat Malaysia bekerja di sana.
So that was Deputy Human Resource Minister Datuk Mahfuz Omar talking about Malaysians who are willing to do 3D jobs in Singapore. And that, I suppose, is part of a discussion about why Malaysians aren't willing to do those same jobs here. And I do think that a lot of those points are interesting, although I also would like to know whether or not then are we heading in that direction, right? Because it's one thing to say, here are the reasons why it's happening in Singapore. If you know that, then is there actually an attraction or an interest on a local level to include or to start like incorporating some of those factors into jobs here so that people will be interested? Because normally when we say things, we're speaking, you know, like, oh, we need to study further. But yeah. In this case, it's like, you know, so then?
Yeah, exactly right. And I think it's a good point that it sort of busts myths about why people choose to work those 3D jobs in Singapore, that it's not actually just the exchange rate alone. It's actually the fact that there is higher salary, the job is more secure, and you know, you're right, whether we're going to start encouraging local players and local employers to start thinking about those factors as well. You know, if the complaint is always, well, Malaysians don't want to just work these jobs because they're lazy, well, that's not it. You're just maybe not paying enough.
So what is it going to take for Malaysians to want to do 3D jobs here in our own country? Do you think that's something that we should even be moving towards, or do you think it's fine as it is? Call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. And you know, looking at today's Parliament, or looking at today's pulpit Parliament, we're a little bit sort of, it's a bit of a buffet. There's a variety of topics that we are covering. What's next?
Speaking of buffet, the next thing on the table is about chocolate, more specifically the cocoa industry. Che alias Hamid, the MP of Kemaman, wanted to know how the government is going to restore the cocoa industry to its glory days. Datuk Sri Shamsul Iskandar, who is the Deputy Minister of Primary Industries, talked about a few different efforts, which includes moving to market our unique cocoa and chocolate products.
Saya setuju dengan pandangan yang berhormat bahawa banyak produk-produk kita perlu dikomersialkan dan dipasarkan. Saya ambil contoh, misalnya sekarang ni ada ubat gigi daripada coklat yang dinamakan sebagai, kalau tak silap saya, Miss, ya, satu produk tempatan yang sekarang ni sedang kita bantu untuk promosikan. Ada juga bahan-bahan seperti yang membabitkan pharmaceutical ataupun kecantikan dan sebagainya. Jadi yang ini produk-produk yang sedang kita bantu mereka untuk pasarkan supaya dapat dipelbagaikan produk-produk ini dan bantu industri ini. Apakah pendekatan dan teknologi yang terkini? Saya percaya bahawa yang saya sebutkan tadi dalam jawapan ialah untuk kita bangunkan secara bersungguh-sungguh, iaitu apa yang dipanggil sebagai program pembangunan kluster koko. Saya ambil contoh, misalnya yang sedang kita buat sekarang di Ranau. Di Ranau ni kita akan bangunkan, sekarang dalam proses tender yang berhormat, bangunkan mini kilang. Dan di kawasan persekitaran itu ada penanam koko. Jadi mereka boleh hantar terus ke kilang, diproses dan kemudiannya terus menjadi produk hiliran dan membantu pekebun kecil yang mana mereka mempunyai kebun di sekitar itu. Jadi ini antara projek yang ongoing dengan izin, Datuk Ketua. Dan mudah-mudahan ini dapat membantu pekebun kecil menambahkan lagi pendapatan mereka. Terima kasih.
That was Datuk Sri Shamsul Iskandar, Deputy Minister of Primary Industries. And you know what? That was the first time I ever heard of a cocoa-based toothpaste. Like, I'm pretty sure that will be popular with the kids.
Yeah, we were actually given a sample a few months ago to try, and that was my first time seeing it as well. I was a little bit reluctant because cocoa and mint, I don't know if that's necessarily a good combo for brushing your teeth. But it was actually quite delightful. Like, it had like a mild cocoa taste, a very pale brown color that was, you know, like novel and interesting. So when I finished the tube, I actually wanted to repurchase, but I didn't know where to go.
There you go. Because I really like chocolate and mint as a combination.
Right.
But similarly, I don't know. I don't know whether the minute I try brushing my teeth with this, my brain is going to go eat it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just going to activate and go like, yeah, dessert time, as opposed to knowing what this is. Would you use cocoa-based toothpaste? Like I said, today's Popit Popit Parliament, we've got a lot of stuff going on. So whether it's about esports and traditional sports, 3D jobs, and how to get Malaysians more on board with doing this in our own country, as well as cocoa-based toothpaste, chocolate toothpaste, chocolate-flavored toothpaste. Is that something that you're keen on? Call us and let us know, 7733-2900. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. We're going to be continuing Popit Popit Parliament right after this. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Brainy, fancy material. BFM 89.9.
It's 5:19 in the evening and you are with Lynn, Kelvin and Ayman today on Popit Popit Parliament with producer Tasha Fusil in the studio as always. So we've been talking about 3D jobs, cocoa-based toothpaste and
esports.
Yeah, it's been just a variety of topics here today. And now we're moving on to the next because that seems to be the nature of today's report, just like onwards and upwards. And speaking of upwards, flying car.
Yes, flying car, Malaysia's favourite innovation. This Thursday, the Entrepreneur Development Minister, Datuk Sri Rizwan Yusof, is actually going to take a test ride in the flying car.
Does that mean he's going to, be a passenger? Is he going to actually drive the car?
So he's not sure, but he says that he'll definitely be in the vehicle.
Well, I don't know. They will invite me to see, but I will definitely sit in the vehicle.
Will you sit in it and then it will fly? The description right now, I think, is still a little bit vague.
A bit up in the air.
Yeah, a little sparse in the details. But in Parliament yesterday, he actually invited several MPs to witness the test. He says, however, it's a closed event, so media can't come. And if the company behind the project doesn't approve of the visit, then it won't actually happen.
They jemput because they bertanya, kan? But it is a private invitation by the private company. So I will extend it to the private company and say, like, a few, what can I, if they say cannot, what can we do? So it's their own initiative. We are basically facilitating as a government. I cannot just suppress. So we have to create an environment for them to thrive. You just imagine, I will have young people now to start getting interest into, for example, forming flying club. Yeah? As you know, reported by Morgan Stanley, there's no growth in aviation in Malaysia. It's zero. Can you tell me there are aviation clubs in Malaysia that can actually help create an ecosystem to get people interested to thrive in the industry? None. So these are the initiatives that we do to help the private sector.
I guess in a way, this flying car initiative is taking off, right?
Thank you.
So
but I'm just wondering, why isn't the media invited? I'm pretty sure like everyone wants to see it.
Yeah, definitely. But according to the minister, it is to prevent from undermining the company's position.
No, we cannot do that because it's undermined their position because they are now talking about purchase order intent from ASEAN country. So it cannot be speculated as such. Let, for example, if I bring you in for unknown reason, it does not fly, that will affect.
Just for media to witness, do you think it's important?
No, it will be internal, our own internal media will do that. They will share it with you.
He did promise, though, if the test is successful, then public media, us media, will be able to attend a future event. So fingers crossed, guys.
Okay. You just heard Entrepreneur Development Minister Datuk Sri Rizwan Yusof giving us the very latest on the flying car and the possibility someday of the media being able to see it fly. Okay. So what else do you have for us?
Well, the big news today was about a meeting that happened at Economic Affairs Minister Datuk Sri Azmin Ali's home. At least 22 BN MPs and 5 PKR MPs met up for dinner.
Right. The report said that those MPs include Housing and Local Government Minister Zuraida Kamarudin, Deputy Transport Minister Datuk Kamarudin Jaafar, Sembong MP Datuk Sri Hishamuddin Hussein, and Cameron Highlands MP Ramli Muhammad Noor. The Malaysian Insight reported yesterday that the meeting was on supposedly on how to get support to keep Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad in his current position.
Yeah, but there have been some updates since then. UMNO President Datuk Sri Ahmad Zahid Hamidi said that the meeting was to discuss the channeling of government projects to their various constituencies. However, he said that the optics of the meeting wasn't really that great because of the way it was conducted. He added that any meetings between Barisan and Pakatan have to be done as a party. UMNO's disciplinary board are actually going to review the situation.
And did you manage to hear from anyone about this?
Yeah, we heard from PKR Communications Chief Fahmi Fadzil, who said that they'll be waiting for an explanation from YB Azmin.
Saya agak terkejut mendengar dan membaca laporan media yang mengatakan sekian. Tapi pada waktu ini, parti belum terima apa-apa makluman rasmi. Jadi saya percaya bila Biro Politik mengadakan mesyuarat pada esok hari, kita pasti akan bincang perkara ini. Dan harapan saya semua pimpinan boleh hadir untuk kita dapatkan maklumat penuh apa yang sebenarnya berlaku. Kerana kalau kita lihat harapan rakyat selepas Tanjung Piai adalah untuk bacaan kami dari segi postmortemnya, salah satu perkara yang rakyat harapkan adalah untuk Kerajaan Pakatan Harapan memperbaiki mutu persembahan ataupun perkhidmatan dan menyelesaikan masalah rakyat di samping menunaikan janji manifesto. Kalau benar berlaku satu pertemuan pada malam tadi, apakah manifesto yang ingin diselesaikan? Dan saya percaya pimpinan banyak tanda tanya dan boleh dirungkai ataupun diperjelas bila kita adakan mesyuarat Biro Politik malam esok, insyaAllah.
That was PKR Communications Chief Fahmi Fadzil. YB Azmin on his end has said that this was just a normal meeting. He says that he meets with anyone who wants to meet with him and that he'll attend that meeting if his schedule permits. So, you know, we're likely to get more updates on this tomorrow.
And we'll wait on that. In the meantime, to our next segment, we have Meet an MP.
So who do you have for us today, Tasha?
Today we have another minister. He's been the MP of his constituency for about 12 years now.
Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi taala wabarakatuh. I'm Khalid bin Abdul Samad. I'm the Member of Parliament for Shah Alam. At the same time, Minister of Federal Territories. What we have tried to implement in Shah Alam for the past 12 years has generally been very positive. Most of the flood-prone areas have been handled. The issues which still remain with respect to the redevelopment of the public housing, lah, the flats, yeah, PKNS and so on and so forth, which are 5 stories where most of the owners now are too old to go upstairs because it doesn't have a lift. So what we want to do is that we want to encourage the redevelopment of all these apartments, and this is being currently handled. At the same time, we try to ensure that there's a lot of activities at the community level where there are many programs where we involve the residents of Shah Alam in programs that are being sponsored by the PBT.
So that was our Meet an MP for today, Khalid Samad, who is the MP of Shah Alam and, of course, also the Federal Territories Minister. Now, we've been asking you for your thoughts on just a couple of different things. Firstly, on the subject of 3D jobs and Malaysians working those jobs abroad as opposed to here, abroad specifically, meaning Singapore. Suk Ping says, I think worker safety coverage is very important when you consider this job. Working a 3D job in Malaysia, it looks like you can die anytime and then the company will cover up this matter.
Yeah, I guess there is some truth in that. And the fact that, you know, it's in the name itself, right? 3D, right? It's either dangerous or difficult or dirty. And all three of those make it less appealing for Malaysians. So I wonder if it were to be made less 3D, less dangerous or less difficult, less dirty, maybe that could also go some way to attract Malaysians tech, probably.
Sure. And I think that would require just a complete overhaul of what we understand about work, right? And what is going to be automated, what is going to change, and a willingness to do that. Because I think right now, for the time being, I think it still is often seen as simpler to rely on a foreign workforce that you know is there, that you know is readily available. So I think for employers or for people working in that space, sometimes it can feel like, well, you know what? I know that I can get workers. Doesn't have to be locals. I can continue paying the price that I've been paying. And why should I have to change? You know, so it requires a little bit of a rejigging of our entire system. We also have this message from Sylvest.
I actually had to Google what eSport is. Well, shouldn't we all move a bit, regardless if it's sports or we are determined to slowly move into the generation of humans as portrayed in Wall-E?
I still think that people will want to move, and that as long as you have sporting idols in this world, as long as people continue to enjoy watching not just esports but regular sports, people are going to want to learn how to do that. People are going to want to be a part of that. I agree, but I also don't think we have to fear that too much. If you have thoughts on esports versus traditional sports, if you have thoughts on the flying car, do you want to be a part of that? Do you want to see it? Cocoa toothpaste. I'm just
a variety.
Yes. If you have thoughts on any of those things, you can call us 7733-2900. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.